Praise God. Well, I hope it is because it didn't beep at me. But we, the question's always the sound. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Well, thank you, Lord. We're just thankful to be here today. It has been challenging for all of us for different reasons. And we're just, we're thankful to be able to gather, to praise your name together, to glorify you, to learn from your word. Open our hearts today and give us your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. I wanted to kind of expand on what we covered a couple of weeks ago. Since I had the material prepared, something we went over a while back, and it just fits so neatly into the study that I didn't want to. I wanted to bring it back up again. But we all want peace. Well, I realize there are some people you think maybe they don't want peace because they sure are good at stirring up trouble. But you know, as a rule, we prefer peace. We want peace in our own lives. Internal conflict can be the worst sometimes of anything else that we can experience because there's no way to turn it off. It's just always there. And a lot of times we can rob ourselves of peace by the way that we think and the way that we process things. Sometimes it can serve as a warning. Sometimes when you don't have peace, it's because the Holy Spirit's trying to get your attention and warn you that something's not right. You need to stop. You need to consider. Maybe you need to pray. We seek peace in the lives of those we love. I desire that for all of you. There's so many, everybody in here is hurting over something. And, you know, for some, it's an old wound. For some, it's fresh. And we struggle to provide some measure. I struggle to provide some measure of peace to do what I can. And all the while, as you know from the last time, sometimes struggling to have it in my own life. But to provide maybe some wisdom to help us all to find it is my desire. We want peace in our world. We want to stop the suffering. We want to end the evil, if at all possible. But we have to remember something in that there will be all kinds of people that will tell you how they think we can achieve that peace. But there is only one way that we can have that peace. There's only one way that happens. We can't forget that the only way the world gets peace is through Jesus. And while we ought to be doing many other things in service of that goal, we need to never forget that the ultimate end is Jesus. And we need to help people find him. What do we mean by peace? Do we mean simply the absence of conflict, whether that's internal or external? Maybe the absence of clamor or frantic activity. We talk about wanting a little peace and quietness and tranquility. The fact that you say those two words together implies that they're not always the same thing. Quiet is only peaceful when our spirit is at peace. Sometimes quiet can be an impediment to peace because then our minds take off. And so we try to fill that space with something else so we don't have to think. We try to get it many ways. We might try to enforce it. If you got kids, you tell them to shut up. If you got if you have the ability, you try to stop aggression and people or things that that disturb the peace. And sometimes it's necessary. Sometimes you need to be forceful in that arena. But an enforced peace, as we know, is only temporary. It can't last because you haven't really dealt with the source. Maybe we try to negotiate it, usually wind up in the same place. Or we try to bring it by invitation. We create an environment where that we consider peaceful. We engage in activities to do the same thing. But again, we come to the same thing. That's all passive. That's all temporal. If you want real peace, you got to go to the source. We read a couple weeks ago, and I'll read it again, just chapter verse 27 today in chapter 14 in the book of John. He says, "My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Jesus, as we know, is speaking to his disciples just before he's going to be arrested and crucified. They've had the Last Supper together. He's washed their feet. And he has predicted his betrayal as Judas has already left to do the deed. He's been teaching them. He gave them a new commandment to love each other as he has loved us. And then he illustrated it by his act of service. Or actually, he illustrated it first. But he talked about his oneness with the Father. And he promised that we would be able to do even greater works in his name. By his authority. He's about to be taken from them, but he's promising the coming of the Holy Spirit, the helper, the comforter, the teacher, the spirit of truth, the guide to the truth. And then, like we talked about last week, there's this verse about his peace. They're connected. Comes through the Holy Spirit. And we've talked a little bit already about the difference between God's peace and the world's peace. God's peace comes from within. The world's peace is determined by circumstances. God's peace spreads by its very nature. The world's peace has to be contrived and enforced. God's peace is freely offered, while the world's peace comes at a cost. God's peace is eternal. The world's peace is temporal. True peace is foreign to the world. In Romans chapter 3, verse 17, Paul is quoting from Isaiah 59:8, and he says, "The way of peace they have not known." So, Lord, the world is belligerent. The world demands, "Do you want a peace in me?" But God says, "Do you want a piece of me?" Guard your heart. He then says, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be fearful." In other words, there's something here for you to do. Take it. Take an action and actively guard your heart, so that you'll be able to have that peace. Jesus said a little bit later on in chapter 16, he said, "You're going to have trouble." The context there was persecution. But we know that our world is troubled. But you can have trouble without being troubled. Now, I've made no secret of the fact that I struggle with that too. But that's our goal. If we can get to that place, we're in that kind of place with the Holy Spirit. that we can experience trouble without being troubled. It's possible. Like I say, I've had trouble being there myself, but it's possible, and I have seen glimpses of it. Our emotions, our reactions are normal to the things that happen, and they're not wrong. God gave us emotions. God even has emotions. That has always puzzled me because he knows what's coming before it gets here. But then I got thinking about it. It's like, well, look at your own life. Look at what's been going on right now. Didn't you know this was coming? Yeah, now, unlike God, I didn't know exactly what and exactly when, but I knew it was coming. That didn't lessen the emotional impact when it hit. And we're made in God's image. It's healthy to grieve. It's healthy to experience that. And it takes time. And nobody should criticize or deny you that time. But then note this active voice. Do not let your heart be troubled. Do not let it be afraid. We've got to choose the peace. Don't let it be afraid. One of my favorite passages is over in 1 John. I think I've talked about how when I read that, it introduced me to the idea that God is love and set me on a lifelong mission to understand what that meant. And one of the things that passage says over in 1 John 4:18 is that there's no fear in love, but the perfect love casts out fear. Now, I've always looked at that in the terms of, that means when you're operating in love, you're not afraid of the consequences. You love people even though they may not love you back, even though they may hurt you. That's the way I always looked at that verse. But then, when I thought about it in this context, I said, it works the other way too. When you trust in the love of God, which truly is perfect, then you don't have to be afraid. Because you know that he loves you, and you know that he's going to take care of you. Is it going to be a bumpy ride, at least while we're on this earth? Yep. But we know that he's got us. And Priscilla always says, God's got you. He does. Our love, that love that comes from him, pushes out the fear and leads us to action. His spirit, Paul tells us, is not one of fear. It's not one of timidity, but of power, love, and of sound mind. Or discipline, some translations say. Fear disables us more surely than any sort of physical problem we may have. But if we'll trust him, if we'll learn to trust him, if we will choose to trust him, we will not fear. Our reality may still be grim, but he is the God of reality. He makes reality. He created it in the first place. Our peace, the peace that he gives us is precious. It comes from him. Jesus in Isaiah 9:6 is called the Prince of Peace. His sacrifice made it possible for him to give it to us. He gives it to us through the Holy Spirit. He's called the God of Peace. The first thing that Jesus said when he appeared to his disciples after his resurrection, and on at least two occasions, was peace to you. It was a common way that the letters of the gospel are open, peace to you. The Holy Spirit is his agent. And we also have peace with God. It comes by faith. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 reads in part, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also We have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. We are reconciled to Him by His sacrifice. Also in Romans chapter 5, verse 10. We know that this world is not a peaceful place. There is chaos all around us. We look at what has just happened in the Middle East. We got wars that hint, depending on what you believe, and I'm not going to go into that, but wars that may hint, if some people are right, at the coming end. We still have famine around the world. You would think that wouldn't be a problem, and you know what? It's actually not a problem. It would not be a problem. Whenever I see that, I think about the proverb. It chapter 13, Proverbs 13:23 says, "Abundant food is in the fallow ground of the poor, but it is swept away by injustice." A lot of times, what's happening is not that there's not enough food; it's that there are other factors that are playing into that food not being available to the people, because the government is stealing the resources, or you know, any number of things. But I won't go into all that, mainly because I don't have time. But you got revolutions, you got persecution of Christians going on, you got some people in the world wanting to absolutely eliminate the nation of Israel, eliminate the Jews from the earth. And we're seeing this kind of thing even in our own country. Our own country is so divided these days, maybe as bad as it's been since the Civil War. And everybody assumes the worst of the other side. Now, we can't ignore human nature. We tend to be driven by selfish desires. And we tend to move toward those who are like us and away from those who are not like us. But our opinions about things don't change the truth. And yes, some things are evil. And yes, some people are evil. Truth of the matter is, unless God comes in and changes us, we're all evil. Yeah, some are worse than others, but evil is evil. And without God, none of us have a chance. We know this as Christians. Even if we think that the other is wrong, and I know I've said this over and over again, but can we not think that just maybe they're wrong for the right reasons? That the path that they see toward the solution, it's a good solution, but the path is wrong? And assume good motives until we find out otherwise. Sometimes we're going to find out otherwise. But let's start with assuming the best until we're proven wrong. Our relationships are broken. None of us is immune to this. It's only a question of degree. And causes range from the natural to the malevolent. And there is no greater source of pain, because we were made for relationship. So the question then is, what can we do about it? Well, first thing we need to do is go to the source. It starts a lot of times by denying ourselves, by denying our flesh. Romans 8:6 says in part, the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the spirit is life and peace. Now, it's not simply a matter of physical excess being there talked about there. It's a matter of self-centeredness and having to die to ourselves and put God's desires first, put others' desires first. His word is life. fruit of the Spirit, growing out of love in Galatians 5:22. Love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. He says that we can take our requests to Him with thanksgiving, and His peace will guard our hearts and our minds. I bet you everybody knows where that's at, right?
In the Bible.
That's Philippians 4:6, and verse 7 follows it up, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What you think about is also important. If we kept reading there, we'd run into verse 8. And I'm not going to read it there because of time, but when we think about what we think about will affect how peaceful we are. When we're thinking about good things, when we're filling our mind with good things, we're more likely to have peace. And even if some of the things even that we enjoy, and I'm speaking to myself here too, are not necessarily things that promote peace. I'm into the politics. I'm into, you know, keeping up on what's going on, and don't have much time for it these days, but at least I kind of browse through the headlines. But man, it's real easy to get unpeaceful. You look at that stuff all day. And it's good to know things. It's good to be aware of what's going on. But it's also good to remember that God's still in control. It's also good to remember that the source of peace is where we need to go first. And then let Him be the lens through which we see everything else that we look at in our daily lives. His peace will guide you. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. And then give out of what you've been given. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. We speak peace through the message of salvation. The same word form there also appears there in Matthew, also appears in Colossians chapter 1, verse 20, where it says, through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross. That's how we make peace. We make peace by spreading His peace. Interpersonal peace flows out of that. Hebrews 12:14. Pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. Where others are concerned, we can't always have peace. We can only do what we can do. But Romans 12:18 says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. We're all called to peace. Thus, I've got a verse here, and I'm trying to read it like I've got something to say. Praise God. I'm just going to skip that because I'm not sure why it's there. Praise God. All this stuff is easy to say, but admittedly, it can be hard to do. But our peace comes from Him. It is found in our relationship with Him. It will preserve your heart even when your world is not peaceful. that you can turn your peace into joy by sharing it. John 16:33 says in the Common English Bible, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You will have suffering in this world. Be courageous. I have conquered the world. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Help us as we seek to be agents of your peace. Help us as we seek to evidence that peace in our own lives so that those who are watching us day by day will be able to see your light through the things that we say and the things that we do and the way that we deal with the trouble that comes to all of us because we live in this world. Lord, the greatest testimonies are not necessarily in the miraculous deliverances. Sometimes they're in the way that we suffer hardship and the way that we stay faithful through the midst of it. So help us, Lord. Help us to know when to stay and when to go. To know when to, I don't know that there's ever a time not to pray for deliverance, but give us peace during that process and to hear from you always and to share what we know. And I'm rambling now, and I really do need to hurry up. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for giving us your word. Thank you for giving us your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.